Song of Songs, beginning with chapter 4, verse 9. This is the word of the Lord. You have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride. You have captivated my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than any spice. Your lips drip nectar, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden locked is my sister, my bride. A spring locked, a fountain sealed. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with all choicest fruits, henna with nard, nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all choice spices. A garden fountain, a well of living water and flowing streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind, blow upon my garden, let its spices flow. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its choicest fruits. I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. I gathered my myrrh with my spice. I ate my honeycomb with my honey. I drank my wine with my milk. Eat, friends, drink, and be drunk with love. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, let us taste and see that your Son is good. Let us know his love. We ask in his name. Amen. Said Rabbi Akiva, heaven forbid that any man in Israel ever disputed that the Song of Songs renders the hands unclean. For the whole world is not worth the day on which the Song of Songs was given to Israel. For all the writings are holy, and the Song of Songs is the Holy of Holies. To read the Song of Songs is to enter the most holy place. But what is this most holy place? It is the chamber of the Lord. But where may it be found? It is found in God himself. In the book of Revelation, as the Apostle John beholds the New Jerusalem, he says this, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. The most holy place is God Himself. That place where the persons of the Trinity dwell together in unity. The Song of Songs is a liturgy of love because God is a liturgy of love. The Son is begotten of the Father in love. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son in love. And this love expresses itself in praise as the Father glorifies the Son, and the Son glorifies the Father, and the Spirit glorifies the Father and the Son. In God, we find a world of mutual glorification that rests in mutual love. And man participates in this world of glory and love through worship. In worship, he is drawn into the most holy place. In worship, he is drawn into the chamber of the Lord. In worship, he is drawn into the life of God, into his glory and his love. And as man comes to know this love, he opens his mouth in praise. The liturgy of worship, it begins with the love of God, and his love elicits a response of love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Worship is love responding to love. And as we worship God, our love is conformed to his love. We see this liturgy of worship reflected in the liturgy of marriage. Both are liturgies of love. In the Song of Songs, chapter 4, the love of the bridegroom is reflected in the love of the bride. Here he extols her love with the very same words with which she extolled his love. She, your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. He, how beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than any spice. This liturgy of marriage, it begins with the love of the bridegroom that elicits a response of love from the bride. Her love is shaped by his love. Her love is conformed to his love. The fragrance of his love becomes the fragrance of her love. The fragrance of love rests upon them and expresses itself in praise as they extol one another, as they delight in one another. Here we see that a marriage is meant to be filled with words of love. A husband is meant to speak to his wife words of love, to anoint her with such words, to wash her with such words. These words, they are meant to elicit from his wife a response of love. She responds to his words of love with her own words of love, as she extols his love, as she delights in his love. This is what it means for a man to be the head of his wife. He does not demand that his wife give herself to him. He begins this liturgy of love by giving himself to her. He does not demand. He gives. He does not demand. He loves. For love does not demand. And love cannot be demanded. Love is not born of demands. Love is born of love. Love responds to love. A husband cannot demand love from his wife. And a wife cannot demand love from her husband. Love is a gift. It cannot be demanded. It cannot be taken. It can only be received when it is given. A husband is not meant to receive from his wife what he has not given to her. Her love is meant as a response to his love. But we should not suppose that a wife's love is dependent upon her husband's love. For she belongs to another more than to him. To one whose bride she is, not only for a time, but forever. In the liturgy of marriage, the wife's love is meant to be a response to her husband's love, but her love does not depend upon his love. Her love depends upon the love of Christ. And this is true not only for the wife, but for her husband as well. For we are all his bride. We love because he loves. We love him because he loves us. We respond to his love with love. And our love is conformed to his love. It is not the liturgy of marriage that teaches us the liturgy of worship. It is the liturgy of worship that teaches us the liturgy of marriage. It is in the liturgy of worship that we learn the liturgy of marriage. For it is here that we learn the liturgy of love. It is here that we learn to love one another as he loves us. Here we learn to delight in one another as he delights in us. Here we learn to be patient with one another as he is patient with us, and to bear with one another as he bears with us, to be kind to one another as he is kind to us, to be gentle with one another as he is gentle with us, to consider each other more significant than ourselves as he considered us more significant than himself. It is here that we breathe in his grace, that we may breathe out that grace upon one another. The liturgy of marriage, it is a reflection of the liturgy of worship. And in Christ, they are one and the same. A liturgy of love without end, in a world of love without end. The church is his sister. The church is his bride. She is to him a land flowing with milk and honey. She is to him a garden with the choicest fruits. The church is a garden locked, but he is the key of David, and our hearts open to him. The church is a fountain sealed, but in him that seal is broken, and out of our hearts flow rivers of living water. As his words anoint our lips drip with the nectar of his grace. As the fragrance of his sacrifice rests upon us, we become the aroma of his love. And he calls to his spirit, that mighty wind, awake, come, blow upon my garden. And the spirit comes down from heaven and blows upon us. And love is stirred within us. And we call to our Lord, let my beloved come to his garden and eat its choicest fruits. And he comes. He comes to dwell with us, to delight in this place that has been prepared for him and given to him by the Father. And as we are wed to him, the Spirit proclaims, eat, friends, drink, and be drunk with love. The bridegroom's coming to his garden. It is the center of this song. It is the innermost place of this book that may be called the most holy place. And as the innermost place of that most holy place is opened to us, what do we find there? Not God alone, but his people as well. Not only the bridegroom, but also the bride. Not only Christ, but also the church. This liturgy of love, it brings us into the deepest communion of love. It is a love far deeper and greater than the love that can ever be known in the marriage of a man and a woman, even should those two be the truest of friends. Here is a love. Here is a communion, deeper and greater than the marriages in our midst. The one who knows this love, he needs no other love. The one who knows this love, she needs no other love. And that is why we are free to give ourselves in love to one another. Because we do not need anything from one another. The one who needs nothing is free to give everything. And so a husband is free to give all of himself to his wife, even if she does not respond to his love with love. And a wife is free to give all of herself to her husband, even if it is not a response of love to his love. For that love is still a response. It is a response of love to the love of Christ. It is his love that sustains the unloved. For in him, they are not unloved. They are loved with a love that is truer and purer and stronger and better. Truer than man. Purer than fire. Stronger than death. Better than life. There is no greater joy than to know his love. In Christ, the liturgy of worship and the liturgy of marriage are one. For we are gathered here as his bride. We are here because he has called us in love. Here his love stirs within us and awakens us to love. We hear his voice and our hearts burn within us. He gives himself to us and our lips tremble with delight. We call to him, let my beloved come to his garden. And he comes. And we delight in him. And he delights in us. As he enjoys those choice fruits that by his grace have grown within us. Here he draws us into his chamber, into that deepest communion of love, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love of the Spirit. The whole world is not worth this day on which this song is given to us. Let us then heed the voice of the Spirit, and let us say with him, eat, friends, drink, and be drunk with love. Amen.